Yeah, that was another piece of our creative arts team suggestion they had made, and they got a bunch of videos, and that was one of the ones I was like, oh, that's just cool. That's just cool. Inviting people to church. I want to just go and start off this. This is the last Sunday of the month, which means that we've got a whole new selection of Acts challenges. If you want to pull those out, we're going to tackle those real quick, and we're going to look at these. Every month, we're presented with a new set of challenges, and once a challenge is completed, you turn that in either through the bulletin or online, and then from that point, there's no name attached to it after that point. So we have a collection of that, and we're tracking all that somewhere privately. Yes, there are badges that are going to be going up on that board. Dina was just pointing at this board over here that's bare behind us. There are badges that have been turned in. They have been... they're going to be made. Kelly texts me, and she just had a busy week, and so she's going to be getting them first thing next week. Is that what the text said, first thing next week? I don't want to misquote you. And so yeah, that one will be having some badges. But the badges go up, and the badges don't have anyone's name on it. It just signifies that someone did one of the challenges. Now, this month's challenges are a little different than the months prior, because these are to be done kind of in sequence. That they're going to work best when they're done in sequence. And they're all about reaching out and reaching other people. So let's look at these. These are from the one-by-one challenges. That's why they have the code O. So we have 01, 02, 03. Those are the codes that you'll use to report online and in your bulletins. 01, outreach prayer. This challenge is to find a soul, a person, but we're changing our mindset. Every person is a soul, yes, and souls were made to live for eternity and designed to live with God for eternity, but all souls will exist for eternity in one place or another, either with God in heaven or suffering in hell, and we know that, and so we need to start looking at people as souls, not just as a body, not just as a person. So the idea is to find a soul, a person that hasn't made Jesus their Lord, or they're not active in church. Maybe you don't know if they've made Jesus their Lord or not, but they're just not active in church, and you are going to commit to pray for that person. That's all it is. That's 01. You commit to pray for that person, you pray for that person, you start praying for them, then you turn that in and say, okay, I'm doing 01. I've committed to pray for this person, I'm doing it. So then we move on to 02. 02 is planting and fertilizing seeds. We've been talking about this through the series. At planting and fertilizing seeds, that's dealing with your credibility as a Christian, because they're going to listen to you as you need credibility to plant seeds, and your consistency as you fertilize. And I did look that up, by the way. There is grass seed that has fertilizer and seed mixed in together. And there are multiple brands of it. So it does exist. So you seed and you fertilize at the same time, just like those blended bags there of seed and fertilizer. So to complete the challenge of 02, you sit down and you have a prayer time with God, and you say, God, I need your strength. I need you to give me wisdom, because I'm going to commit to a lifestyle that carries out these three things that we've been talking about this whole series. And that is to be wise in the way that you act towards others. To use salty language, all right? And in our series, we understand that salty language means to have language that involves grace and involves truth. Everything you say is going to be graceful, truthful, hopefully a little bit of both, salty language. And to let your light shine by doing good deeds for others. And that all that is just committing to God that you're going to do these things. You're going to do these three things. You're going to live your life this way to build a consistency, to build some credibility as a Christian. And then we get to 03. The problem is that I think a lot of us, we just jump straight to 03 and we skip 01 and 02. And so that's why I've got things kind of outlined for us here for these Acts challenges. Because sometimes we just jump and we invite someone to church. You've gained no credibility, no consistency. They have no reason to want to go to your church because they've never seen it active in your life. They don't see how real it is to you. And you haven't been praying for the guy or for the gal. So we're going to start and we're going to do this the right way. You pray for them. You live a consistent life in front of them. And as you have, you started living a consistent life in front of them. Or maybe you're continuing because you're already doing that. Praise God if you are. But if you're not, then this is an opportunity to say, okay, I need to start doing this. I need to get serious about my faith. and you live a consistent life, you gain credibility, you start planting seeds, you fertilize, and then you go to O3 and you invite them to church. You invite that soul, that person, to church or to a church event with you. You know, if you invited them to the church picnic, then that would have counted as an O3. Or you invite them to help serve side by side with you at the tailgating party or at the car show or whatever events we've got coming up. That would be great. Just getting them into church, that would be fine. But getting them to a church activity, a service activity, that would be awesome too. So either one of those two things would count. Now, they don't have to accept. They don't have to attend. For O3, it's all about the invite. It's just you getting enough courage, being compelled enough by Jesus Christ that you're going to invite them to a church event or a church function, like this guy on the bench. You know, hey, we got something our church is doing that's pretty cool, because our church has got a lot of really cool things that's going on right now. So you got plenty of things to invite them to. And so that's O3. Now, if they do come with you, then we've got O4, a guest soul. Okay, O4 means that in this challenge, this person that you've been praying for, this person that you've been working hard to live as a visible witness to them, to gain credibility and consistency in your life, and then you invited them to come to a church event or to come to church with you, they actually came with you? Awesome. That's O4. Fill that out in the bulletin, go online, fill it out, send it in, and we'll get some badges to come up. And then O5, I didn't want to leave this one out, harvest time. If any one of us in this process gets a chance to see that person come to Christ and you get a chance to baptize them into Christ, and this might be months down the road, we might just be able to squeak this in December, then we'll see some O5 badges go up on the board, and I want to see that, and I don't think that is unrealistic, because when you got a church that's serious about sharing Jesus, people are going to be drawn to that. Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, people are going to be drawn to me. Church, we want to lift Jesus up. Amen? All right, let's see some of these things that we've been doing to lift Jesus up. I want to talk about some of these service projects we've got that we've been going and doing. I want to celebrate these. Take a few minutes today out of our message time to do that. We had a tailgating at Harrison and the East Central game. At that event, yeah, that was awesome. At that event, yeah, go and give him a hand. We got a lot of things. You guys are going to be clapping a lot today if you're going to be clapping for that one. There's a bunch of things going on. We had 15 adults that showed up to help with the tailgating, to serve in that area and that venue. That's going to be something that's going to go on our Help Wanted boards for September. Next month, we'll have brand new, next Sunday, beginning of next month, we'll have brand new, some brand new Help Wanted posters on there. We're going to continue some of them from last month, but we will have some new ones on there, and this is going to be one of the new ones. There's going to be tailgating going on. So this is the first of many tailgating parties they're going to have. And I tell you what, those 15 adults, they came prepared. We had one couple, the Lanes, they came with beans, and then we had the Nallens that came with deviled eggs, and they came, and that shows that they prepared. They thought about it ahead of time, and they cared. They said, okay, what can I do to make this event special? What can I do to invest in this event? That's awesome. That's just awesome to see that. And there are numerous teenagers, both from Harrison and East Central, that came through the tailgating party. And so we got a chance to touch a lot of different teenagers. We got some of ours down here. Does that make it easier to bring your friends by? If you got something like, look at this. Yeah, I have a whole two rows here of head shaking that event makes it easier to bring kids and let them get to see our church and let them get to see a church in motion. And when we get some t-shirts going on, then we're going to be able to represent even more. So that's exciting. So the car show yesterday, we had almost 100 cars in our parking lot from the Miami Town Historical Society. Yeah, it's awesome. That is awesome. We had over 45, this is the part that I really want to clap for. We had over 45 Miami Town Church of Christ volunteers involved in this event. That's awesome. 45 through the bake sale, through serving, through setting up, through tearing down. And these are not just 45 Miami Town Church of Christ members serving, but it's 45 Miami Town Church of Christ members revealing God through a church in motion. Amen. Let's take a quick look at some pictures here. Oh, by the way, if you go to our Miami Town Church of Christ, the Facebook page, we've got, it's facebook.com/MiamiTownCC. So it's like our website is MiamiTownCC.com. So you just take Miamitown CC, put it after the Facebook deal, and you can go there or you can link to it. You scroll down a little bit, you'll see the Holy Rollers from a few weeks ago, and then you'll see some pictures from the Historical Society Car Show. You click on that, and we've got some pictures. And look at all the... Yes, good job. It's a car show. But look at all the souls. Look at all the souls standing there. And then we got some pictures of just the cars because it was a car show. Woo! Look at those cars. And we got some other pictures going that way. And so that was a great event. We got Paul and Thelma there. And I don't know exactly who that is in the background. But this is the area they had set up for their vending. And then there's Dan and Don and Pat supervising, sort of. And there's Curtis. And the teenagers, the student ministry, they had a bake sale to raise money for the international, what's the name of it? Holt?
Yeah.
Okay, Holt International. It was international something. And they said, we want to run it ourselves. We don't want any adults there. We want to run this thing ourselves. They did all of this themselves as far as setting it up, selling the baked goods. We had a ton of baked goods. The next one will show you the baked goods. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. That's a church in motion. Okay, next. And here they are. They're selling some things. And Dawn's telling Tessa to get off her phone. I don't know. I just make these things up. I see pictures and I wonder what the story is. So there we got some more cooking going on. And selling some. He's trying to decide if he wants cheese on his burger. I don't know. I'm just making those up. So more church. If you notice, there are different church people. These are different times through the day. And just always. And so there we have some very very enthusiastic teenagers selling some cotton candy. Trying to keep it all for themselves, probably. Is that the last one? I think so. Yes, we go to City of Refuge. Woo! City of Refuge down the road. We are partnering up with them and helping out with the food pantry. And Will Fisher has been our contact for that. Will, if you can raise your hand so they can see you. This is the guy you're going to be calling if you tear off one of the tear-off portions on the Help Wanted board. That's one of the ones that's going to be staying for next month because we just need to keep filling that up. Keep filling that up with people. I want to share this with you. On Friday, I got a message on my phone. Friday's my day off, and so Roseanne called from City of Refuge, and I'm really glad that I wasn't there to receive her call, because now I have a voicemail that I can go back and listen to a few times, and sometimes it's just nice when you have an encouraging one. She had a few things to ask me about and some things that we need to be talking about on Monday, but in the midst of this voicemail, and I rewound it, or, pressed the repeat button on there to get it so I can get this exact. I wanted to give you guys the exact quote from what she said. She said in this message, I quote, "Will is amazing." Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Give him a hand. She said, "And it's a blessing to meet some of your church family that have been coming out and helping at the food pantry." That's awesome. We got some pictures of some people that have been helping. Will gave me an update on the food pantry. He said, that's Lou. And then in the background, Cindy. We have another picture of Cindy here. And there's Cindy working on some calculations, working real hard there. And then the food pantry, as I shared with you last week, the food pantry is under construction. They're doing some things to repair. Every Thursday, they feed families. They fed 34 families last Thursday, and they had to have the collection. They put them in bags so they didn't actually go shopping through, if I'm understanding this right. Those are just bags, and they just picked up a bag because the food pantry is not up and running right now. It was up and running. They took it down to make it better, and they're in the process of making it better. So this past Thursday, they just had to give them just a bag of, general stuff for every one of the families. 34 families came through there, and in the process of doing that, we had Cindy and Lou, who were a big help. Kay Yoakum, which we didn't have any pictures there, she came and she helped with food preparation. She was a big help. And they had to use the lunchroom instead of the pantry. So that's a picture of the lunchroom with all the bags. And then we have another picture of the lunchroom. There we go. Then we have a picture of the pantry going under construction. They put in some ceiling fans, four ceiling fans. It was really hot in there before. This is going to keep it nice and cool. And there's Cindy. And just redoing a lot of the stuff down there. So I want to ask you guys, Will said that they need a lot of help getting things fixed up. So if you like working with power tools, you like to paint, they need some help, and you can get these from Will if you can't, if you don't remember what the times are or whatnot, but it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday, they need help from 4 p.m. on, putting the pantry back to order and painting the refrigerator. Wednesday, they need help from 10 a.m. on to finish the pantry and to get things ready for Thursday. And then on Thursday, from 3 to 6, that's when people come to pick up the food. And so we need people there to help distribute the food. Another question that I've been given is if you want to support the food pantry through a financial donation, can we write a check to the church? We're not doing it that way. If you want to support the food pantry, you write a check to City of Refuge, and you can memo it to the food pantry and then send it through Will or send it straight to the food pantry yourself, and we're going to be doing it that way. It's not going to be coming through the church, so you'll need to support that directly to them. So I've had a lot of questions. Yes. You might get a phone call then. So where did our financial guy, we can talk. We can get together after the service and pan that out. But yeah, we had a number of people this morning that had planned on doing it that way. And that's awesome. I love it that people are wanting to give. But we just want to make sure that we're going through that and handling it the right way. So this is just so exciting. To see all of this ministry and this service and what's going on. And when we look at all this together, the big picture of what we got in just 1 month of our new vision and our new mission. And just through four events, we see that we've got the Holy Rollers. We had 18 people that went out to paint the Southwest local schools. Food pantry, we have more than four people. If you look out there on the board, there are multiple things torn off of there. Will's been getting phone calls left and right. There are a lot of people who are getting involved that haven't been involved. There are people who are donating, all that. I don't know any of that number. I just know of Will and these three other people that were there last week. So it's greater than four. But I'm going with a real number of four. So we got tailgating. There are 15 adults, not counting any of the students that were there. And the car show, it's greater than 45 people. That was adults and students that helped serve at the car show. Now, I understand there's some overlap. You know, like Don Nallen, he was at the Holy Rollers. He was also at the car show. The Lanes were at the tailgating. They were at the car show. There is some overlap going on. But when you look at all those events and all the volunteers that it took to make these events happen, we've got 80 volunteers that have been active. And not just active, but revealing God through a church in motion. Amen. Yeah. Eighty people. I'd say at least maybe 20, 30 at the most are overlapping in those events in those areas. So estimating at least 50 unique people involved in ministry, involved in showing God, revealing God through a church in motion. We have something worth inviting people to. We have events worth inviting them to. That guy sitting on the park bench in our video as we intro today. You know, there was a time in our church where you'd say, you know, I'd like to invite someone to church, but I don't really have anything to invite them to. Maybe the service felt like it was lacking in your opinion, or maybe there wasn't an event happening. That's not the case now. Both services, our traditional service, man, they rock it out traditional style. You know? I mean, it's traditional. And I thought, go crazy, make it as old school as you want. Anything you want to do to make it traditional, old school, you do it because we want to offer a service like that for people. This service, man, Jason and the band, they rock it out. And they even went a little old school. I saw the flow this week, and I text Jason. I was like, going old school this week, huh? And so pulling some older songs for our contemporary service. But still, I mean, just great services all around. So you have something here worth inviting them to. They're going to be able to worship God. They're going to be able to be exposed to God. We're revealing God through a church in motion in our worship services. We're doing it in these events. You can invite them to go alongside of you in some of these different events that you're, yeah, hey, come along with me. We're going to go tailgating at the next such and such football game. Or, hey, I'm going to help out at the food pantry. You want to come along? It's great. It feels so good to do this. And we have so much to invite people to. And so you sitting beside someone else on a bench like that and being able to pull something out and say, hey, we got this event going on at a church. Would you like to come with me? Would you like to join me? It's so easy right now to do that. And we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep having more and more stuff. So it'd be easier and easier and easier to invite people to it. These service projects, we have great people here. I believe what I've seen of you. You're the type of people I'd want to invite people to come to my church because of who you are. I've been involved in churches before where I didn't want to invite them to church because of the people that went to that church. It's not the case here. Great worship services, great people, great ministry events, and there's more to come. November what? 11th. 11 weeks away. 11 more weeks till phase two. It's huge. We're watching you guys as you serve, as you get involved. We're going to see how much we're going to be able to reveal on November 11th. So keep getting involved. Keep being involved. Keep being excited. And what excites me more is that, is, as I've mentioned a few times, this is not just a church that's doing things to be doing things. We're doing these things for a reason. We are a church in motion. Why? To reveal God. Revealing God through a church in motion. That's the mission. That's that. Everything we do is going to revolve around that. Everything we do as individuals connected to this church, everything we do as small ministry groups, everything we do as a corporate church, we are revealing God through a church in motion. Our vision statement, being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community through serving. You know, if we just bring physical hope to them for one day, praise God, and may God bless that. But there's more to it than that. Our vision statement continues, transforming. Our hope is that that will open doors, that we'll be able to introduce them to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will transform their life through our service, through the hope that we get a chance to bring them, through them seeing us as we reveal God through a church in motion, because we are connected to the heart of Christ, every one of us. And they get connected with Jesus and they are transformed. And not only transformed, but they are reproduced. We are reproducing people like us that are connected to the heart of Christ and are doing things that are reflective of that. That we are watching people connect with Jesus and being transformed, and we are active in reproducing people who are revealing God through a church in motion. That's what we want to see happen. I want you to remember back with me to when you first encountered Jesus Christ. When he first walked into your life. For some of you, he brought immediate stability. I mean, life was crazy. Life was just spinning. There was no foundation. The foundation of your life, what little you had, was crumbling. And Jesus walked in and he was instantly, immediately, your stability. He gave you something to revolve around. He gave you something to stand on. He gave you something solid that wasn't moving. For some of you, it was an instant freedom from guilt and shame because of your sin. You'd walked such a life and you'd experienced so many choices and behaviors that you just felt so dirty and so nasty. And when Jesus washed you clean, you felt an immediate freedom from your guilt and your sin. And you walked in freedom. Because when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. For some of you, it was an emotional void that no one could fill. And maybe that emotional void became more noticeable when you lost someone close to you. Maybe you lost a loved one, and that emotional void was even larger, and it was more noticeable. And so when you connected with God, you realize that he filled that void, not only the void that you had because of that person missing, but also a void that you'd always had that was made for him. Maybe you went through a divorce and God came in and you accepted Jesus and God came in and he filled that void in your life. You know, for some of you, it might be because you were missing a father figure. Well, your dad was there. You had a dad at home. But you were missing a father figure. And when Jesus opened the door for you to have a relationship with God, you got a father figure. And maybe that's what you experienced when you first allowed Jesus to open your heart and walk in. For some of you, it was a feeling of acceptance across a backdrop of rejection in your life history. You found value and you felt that you were worth something in Jesus' eyes, and that's what you felt, and that's what you experienced when Jesus came walking into your life. All the time before that, you'd felt worthless. You'd felt hopeless. You felt like there was no value in your life or on your life or in you. But that day when Jesus walked in, all of a sudden you had value, you had meaning, you had direction. I want you to think about that moment, because every one of us who are Christians in this room, we had that moment. That moment when Jesus came walking in. I want you to think about the freedom, the excitement, the warmth, the stability, the acceptance, the completeness, the fulfillment, the direction, the value, the impact. Whatever it was for you, I want you to think about that. I want you to bring it up to the front of your brain, the front of your memory. It was the best thing that happened in your life. It was. Nothing else. Nothing else can compare to that moment, that day when Jesus walked into your life. Not your high school graduation. Not your wedding date. Not your college graduation. Not the birth of your first child or any of your children or any of your grandchildren. Not that big promotion at work. Not that winning, not that award or that recognition that you won. Not paying off your mortgage. Nothing compares to that day. And I want us to remember that. I want us to be reminded of that. I want us to go back to that day and remember what it felt like to be set free, to gain that stability, to gain that direction, to gain that value, to have that feeling that whatever it was that you felt. Because Jesus does all of those things for all of us. But for each individual person, there's one particular thing that kind of jumps out in your emotional memory that really did it for you. And I want you to remember right now this moment, that nothing compares to that day. I think we forget that nothing compares to that day. I do. I think we get so distracted, and that day becomes so distant and so far from us that we forget the importance of the day when we gave our life to Christ and He came walking in. We forget what He brought into our life. We forget that freedom that we felt, or we forget that stability that we gained, or we forget that value that we felt. And this morning, I want to bring that back up to the forefront, because that is the most important day of your life. That is the most important thing that ever happened to you, or that ever will happen to you, aside from walking in and fulfilling the promise that's been given to you of eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes, he says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light," I love the wording of this, "to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." Isn't that just wonderfully written? For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," He made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And we have this treasure of the face of Jesus, this treasure of God. We have it stored away in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Because someone, somewhere, sometime revealed God to us. And they did so because God made the light of Christ shine in their heart, so that knowing Christ, they knew God. Through showing Christ, they revealed God. Someone did that for you. Someone was that someone for you. We need to be that someone for someone else. We do. One by one. That's how the kingdom grows. Not by addition, by multiplication. Some of you are thinking one by one. That doesn't work out so well when you're doing multiplication, because it just equals one. But you get one and another, and they make two. And then 2 makes 4. And then 4 makes 8. And 8 makes 16. 16 makes 32. Just keep going. One by one. That's how the kingdom grows. And you don't have to be anything or anyone special to do it. In fact, come to church, get lifted up, you're not special. You're not. There's nothing special about you. You're Rubbermaid. You're Tupperware. It's a modern day translation. This jar of clay, this ordinary vessel, this regular container, this ordinary container contains this extraordinary message, this extraordinary treasure, the treasure of the message of God, the treasure of the image of God, the face of God, Jesus Christ, in this heart, in this container. This container holds the very Holy Spirit of God. And if you're a Christian, you're with me in that. There's nothing special about the container. It's what the container holds. That's what you carry around inside of you. And that's what we are to reveal to others. We have a responsibility, church, because the world desperately needs to see it. You have a message of life. You have a message of hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Verse 11, he says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men." We know what it is to fear the Lord. We try and persuade men. Skipping down to verse 14, he says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We don't look at other people as people. They're souls. Because of this message that we have in our heart, because of this transformation that's happened in us, we no longer look at the world the way we used to. We no longer see bodies, we see souls. We see souls who are going to exist forever in one form or another. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, just as a mere man, just as a mere person, but those of us who have been transformed by him, we know that that's not the truth. But once we revered him that way. We regarded Christ in that way, and we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Please listen to this, because if you believe it, this is worthy of an amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Amen. Do you believe that, church? If someone, anyone who comes into Christ, who is transformed by Christ, they are a new creation. We believe this, church. We stand on this, church. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Who gave it to us? And God gave to who? Us. Not just ministers. All of us. This ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Man, this is great news. This is the treasure we hold in our heart. This is the message we have to share. You can be made new, that your sin won't be counted against you. And he has committed us to this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We represent Christ in this world, as though God were making his appeal through us. We know. Church, we know. And since we know, we should try to persuade people. Every bit of what we do should be about persuading people, about revealing God through what we do, through our actions, through our words. Because these souls around us, they will exist eternally, one way or another. We know, so we should be active in sharing this treasure inside of us. It's not because there's anything special about us. We just know something. It's not the knower. It's the knowledge. It's nothing about the container. It's about the treasure that the container holds. And if the knowledge, this knowledge we have, it's how to experience the grace and mercy of God. If that weren't enough, we have the very example of Jesus, and we have the example of his love, and we should be compelled by his love, convicted by the cross, knowing that Jesus died on the cross, knowing that he died on the cross for our sins, knowing that God raised him back to life. And we know that all who accept him are made into a new creation. We know that. Knowing all of this, we should look at the world in a completely different way. I've shared this quote with you before, and I love this quote. It's from C.S. Lewis. And he says that you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. I love that quote. So, church, this ministry of reconciliation that we've been given, this position as an ambassador of Christ here on earth, it's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something that we can sweep under the rug. It's something God expects of us. It's something that God's Son commanded of us. He said, go. Go. Matthew 28. He says, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go and do this. Church, I want you to remember, and the reason why I took you there, I want you to remember what it was like when you experienced Jesus Christ, what it did for you. And I want that to motivate us, every one of us, to share this with others. Because you can be that someone that creates that moment for that person, that starts opening the door, that is the witness for that person, that they see your actions, they hear your words, they see the good deeds you do, and they eventually praise your Father in heaven. Because someone was that someone for you, and you need to be that someone for someone else. Now, I didn't want to interrupt all the preaching with taking notes, because I knew today was going to be preachy. I had to preach it. I'm done preaching. Let's just write down everything I just said, and then we can head on out of here after communion. The process of planting seeds revolves around the task of building what? Credibility. Good job. The secret of fertilizing is consistency. Good job. I'll let you guys write those down if you didn't get them the past few weeks. Pencils moving. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next. The harvest is empowered by, here's some more seeds, all right? The harvest is empowered by those who are compelled enough to be courageous. Because it takes a certain amount of courage to step out of your comfort zone and do something like inviting someone to church or inviting them to a church event or church function or a service project or whatnot. That takes courage. But what it is that the harvest, it depends on people who are compelled enough by the cross of Jesus that you're willing to be courageous enough. It's that compulsion that gives you the courage. Let's break these down. Compelled by the conviction of the cross and the commandment of Christ. If you love me, you'll what? Obey my commandments. His commandment, go. So you're compelled by the conviction of the cross, by the ultimate example of his love, and you're compelled by his love by obeying his commandment, and that is to go. Courageous enough to move past your personal inhibitions. And hand hope to someone who desperately needs it. I love that word, hope. It's a powerful word. And you have it. Courage enough to move past your personal inhibitions and hand hope to someone who desperately needs it. And I encourage you to go back and read John chapter 4, John chapter 6, and John chapter 9. Look at these stories and see how Jesus shares with these people. See how Jesus works through these. He's got the credibility, and he's got the consistency, and he's got the courage, and he's compelled enough. He looks at these people and he says, you know what? You're worth enough to me to share with you the truth. And he didn't just give them, you know, hey, you want water? I'll give you water and you won't have to thirst again. In chapter 6, he's talking about food. Hey, you guys are following me because you saw food? I'll tell you what, I am the bread from heaven. You talk about food, I'm the bomb, you know. And so in chapter 9, he talks about the blindness, and you see the blindness of the Pharisees, the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees, and you see the physical blindness being cured from this man. And eventually, he comes to believe in Jesus. Read those stories and watch how this works and be inspired by what Jesus does. Read those as you're working and you're praying for your person, your soul, the soul that you've chosen to pray for. As you prepare to be fertilizer and plant seeds, as you prepare to go and invite them, as they come and they join you, and hopefully as you get a chance to baptize them into Christ because Jesus has transformed their life. Use these three stories as inspirations for you. Read them every morning if that's what it takes. Read one each morning and just keep rotating it. Read one a week and switch into another week. Whatever works for you, do that. These three stories are amazingly inspiring. The act of harvesting involves timing and care. Timing means that you see when the harvest is ripe. It's being observant enough to see when the door is open. And care means correctly handling the harvest. The act of harvesting involves timing and care. Church, we sit on something that is far more important than your job, than your family, than your car, than your mortgage, than your investments, more important than your hobbies. And we knew that at one point in our life. We knew that. Somewhere in our life, some point in our life, we said, you know what, God, you are more important than everything, and I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to give my life to you because that's what the covenant was based on. Christians, if you've fallen back from that, then I ask you this morning to repent and to get back up on your horse. Dust yourself off. Get back up. There are people in your world that need you. There are souls that need the treasure of hope that you carry. You cannot spend time on the sidelines. You cannot sit out injured. You got to get back up. You got to get back in the game. And I want to encourage you, and I hope that through God's word this morning that you are inspired and you are moved to get back up and get going. And if you're already going, I want to encourage you to keep going more. Go further. Go deeper. Go higher. Go harder. Go faster. Whatever it takes to keep moving forward, to reveal God through a church in motion. This morning, if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we want to open up a time now during this next song. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. During this next song, we're going to have a time of invitation. If you've never accepted Jesus and the things that we've talked about today, and that freedom, that stability, that direction, the value, all those things that Jesus offers, if any one of those jumped out at you and you said, you know what, that's what I'm missing in my life, that's what I need Jesus, how complicated is it? I want to answer that for you real quick. It's not complicated, it's very simple. If you believe that Jesus is God's only son, that he died for you, he loved you, he died for your sins, and he raised from the dead, that's all you need. If that's what you believe and you want to give your life to Jesus and receive the hope, that treasure, then we invite you to come forward. You can learn and you'll keep learning, we're all learning. But that's the simplicity of it. If you believe that and you want that, then we invite you to come forward this morning to accept Jesus and be baptized into him. We invite you to come forward. If you want someone to pray with you, then sit on the front pew. If you want to pray alone, then come and kneel at the stage or stand at the stage. A lot of churches call that an altar. And so you can just come forward and pray there. This morning, if you're a baptized believer and you simply want to make this your church home, we invite you to come forward during this time also.